Welcome to Called to Create, an LDS PMA podcast where some of the best Latter-day Saint creators offer tips, tools, and inspiration to guide you in your creative journey. I'm your host, Connie Sokol. Welcome back. I'm Connie Sokol, your host, and I am so excited to have our beautiful guest today, Fiona Smith. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much, Connie. I'm excited to be invited to speak as well and talk to you, really. So,
thank you so much. Mm-hmm. Let me give you the official bio, and then we are going to jump right into her life and hear all about her journey. It's going to be fantastic for you on your journey because hers is so varied of all the different talents and abilities and her experiences of being able to move her messages forward. She is British born with Jamaican roots and is actually coming to us from the UK right now. She's a singer, actor, TV host, and law school graduate. In England, she earned a Bachelor of Law with honors, and in America, graduated with a master's degree in theater and media arts from Brigham Young University. Her thesis focused on Black American pioneers and included her role as Jane Manning James in the Joseph Smith Prophet of the Restoration movie. So good. Fiona, along with fellow Londoners Alex Boyer and Harriet Bushman, formed the British vocal group Soul Saints. She co-wrote episodes for a BYU TV live talk show, sang alto in the Tabernacle Choir, and created a band to perform her songs at the 2002 Olympics. She delights in shedding light on unique stories. So varied in your life experience. So let's just jump right in because it's just this potpourri of life experiences. When did you feel like you really felt called to this entertainment industry? Was it one kind of signature experience or is it like a slow burn?
I've done bits and pieces along the way. And I have, you know, there's various callings or calls to create. But yes, the entertainment industry was one. And I would say it began when I was, 8 years old, when the missionaries came to talk to us about the gospel. And at that time, they came with a message about how families could live together forever. And they also spoke about talents. And in our family, we were a very musical family. So, you know, I grew up listening to my mum, who's played all kinds of eclectic music, rock, jazz, R&B, rhythm and blues, reggae, country, Celtic tunes, classical, you name it. That was what I listened to in the house. And I would sing harmonies with my mum while she was singing in the house. So especially in the early days of the church, they used to have a lot of performances. Like there would be lots of talent shows and road shows.
Yeah.
So we don't see so much of that now. So we were used to getting involved as a family. We were like a quartet. You know, my mum would sing soprano. I, funny enough, sang bass. I've got a contralto voice. My sisters would sing, you know, tenor and soprano. And you know, one of my sisters learned to play the piano. The other one was on the guitar. We were known as a Von Trapp family. We'd sing in church.
And then when we
had the performances, which is at the Hyde Park Chapel, I don't know if you know where that is. Exhibition Road, adjacent to the Victoria and Albert Museum and Science Museum is right opposite. And I'll never forget when we as a family, we'd made it through to the finals for when we were singing O Tannenbaum, O Christmas Tree in German. And my sister didn't actually tune the guitar. So we sounded off. This is one of the things I'll never forget. But it was still always this feeling that, oh, this is what we're meant to do. And I would say I was a pretty spiritual kid. I used to cry in sacrament meetings, you know, singing the hymns. One of my performances that made me really realize that this was a special thing was once I was called to sing out in Las Vegas to help publish some book writers that had written about Black American pioneers. And I was singing outside of Deseret Book with a microphone on the street, some, you know, hymns that I'd sort of done a recording of. And one lady came and she was in tears and she said that she just lost her mother, but from hearing, you know, my voice and singing gave her peace. So, yeah, I think music is definitely my first love. And I would say from music has been a talent that I've developed or we've developed as a family in the church, you know, under this belief that, yes, we have talents and we can work on them and we can develop them and that they can touch your heart and they can touch the hearts of others. So, yeah, I would say that was it. But apart from me also, you know, dressing up my brothers and, you know, putting them with powder and, you know, lipstick on their noses, look like clowns, and putting on the odd show in a family. So yeah, I think acting is always, that's also another part of what the sort of entertainment side is, something that I did as a kid.
And they dovetail, don't they? When you said road shows, and I think of how many people that have started out in this industry or different industries that are about that singing and acting, all of those things. They started at home. I know my sisters and I would make up these commercials and we record them on like a little tape recorder, you know, like you start out that way of just that imagination. And then one thing leads to another and you're developing. And I really appreciate that you brought up that it wasn't like you woke up like Celine Dion one morning, right? It was like this sort of one step to the next step, and then taking the opportunities that are in front of you, whether it's, okay, it was a road show or it was a singing thing or an acting thing here. And then you take the next step and the next step, and he just keeps leading you along and developing those talents as you go. And it seems like it developed your faith as you went. Did you find that as you went along, this impact or this way that you were having to be that conduit for him, did you feel like you got more grounded in gospel principles yourself as you were trying to impact other people?
Well, I did, because one of the singers was Felisa Sorensen. And I remember hearing one of her songs and, again, just really crying. And that was the first time I'd actually heard someone sort of really sing in it, sort of like in the church, that was more soulful. I really appreciated her singing. So, yes, again, there's the words of what you're singing and how they make you feel. So, yes, I think when you look back in history, for a lot of people, churches have a great history of helping people to learn songs, whether that's spirituals that people have learned at church and then they go on to do other things. But it's a great foundation to allow you to explore your talent and sing in chapels, as you says, or sing at home. And so, yeah, I definitely got that from the beginnings in the church, definitely.
I love it. It makes it such a natural part of your life. I want to kind of move to some experiences you had as you got older and really digging into this of making this more of a career, more of a, I am doing this and I'm going to do this in my life for my life. And you connected with Alex Boyer and Harriet. So tell us about that experience. What did you learn from that? And how did that kind of come about? Ad on it that said, can you dance to hymns?
That's right. Can you dance to hymns? Yeah. What happened is I was singing in England and doing circuit singing, background, you know, singing. We met up with Harriet, that was myself and Alex Boyer, and we were just thinking, oh, you know, we should come up with an album of songs. And again, they were going to be more soulful sort of type songs, singing the hymns. And I'd done that way before. And so we put it together. The plan was to go out to Utah and tour it, and we toured the Wasatch Front. So I came over to America, and then when Alex came afterwards and Harriet, we did tour and sing some of those songs, and then I actually left the group. See, this is the thing, we're talking about singing, and I do love it, and I certainly want to get back to it, but this is something that's still developing for me. I've been getting into, like, you know, music conducting, and I've got choir songs that I've written and stuff like that, which I've been working on choirs out here. But I certainly do want to get back to, you know, the singing. But at that time, yes, it was the right thing to do. And I then went on to create a band to sing at the Olympics, because I sent a CD that I had done for myself, which was just my voice singing to piano. And they were like, yes. And so I just remember quickly forming a band together and performing during the Olympics.
Like, oh, I sent this in and oh, wow, now they want me. And now I've got to get a band together.
That's it. And so I feel like I'm still in that space, because, I mean, I've listened to a lot of the podcast, whereas I see most of your guests are established. Like, this is it. I've arrived. You know, yes, I am a performer. Whereas I'm still working my way through that. But
flourishing, you're still flourishing the seeds, and that's what we want. I know you're collaborating on the book, It'll All Be Worth It, right, with Cedar Ford. We're both a part of that book, and I think it's wonderful that in doing the collaboration that it is a variety of people at a variety of stages of their message sharing, that their experiences don't have to be this capped, finished, Liahona article, you know, there's the nice little bow that it's this influx, flowing, becoming, and doing. And I think that's a thread that runs through everything that you have experienced. I'd love to jump to being Jane Manning. So tell us about how that experience was working on that movie and being in that environment. How did you even come to receive that opportunity? And then how did you prepare for that?
Wow, that one was an experience where I would say I was called,
Yes.
definitely. So I grew up in a very diverse community, okay? And so when I would sit in school and I would draw different people, I'd have my pinks and I'd have my browns and I would represent the people around me. And when the missionaries came and I would watch the American films that they showed of the church, I realized that the people looked a certain kind of way just in these lovely large homes in America. And I just remember thinking, oh, I wonder if we had films that looked, probably showed some of the people, some of the backgrounds that I have, maybe show look different. I was encouraged by missionaries to go to BYU. They said they felt that I would like it. I actually got a feeling at the age of 17 that I was supposed to go, and I cried at that. I don't know why. I think my spirit probably felt and knew it would be a difficult thing. And in my article called It Will All Be Worth It, I talked about, going to the airport and trying to go to Utah and not being successful in that. And I won't go into too much details because we don't have a lot of time and it's in the article. And one of the first things I said to the head of the theater and media arts department was that there needed to be a play about Black Mormon pioneers. And that was a shock when that came out my mouth because I hadn't actually, up to that point, had any experience that there was actually any Black pioneers. In fact, I was told by one lady there weren't any when we had a parade out here in England. And I put on one of the bonnets and said, I don't think there were Black pioneers in those days, and they were treated like chattel. So, that was what I was told. But anyway, that came out my mouth. I was shocked, only to realize in a few days I was in a workshop, and there I was with other Black people, and I was going to say Black Americans. I'm saying that because I actually just listened to Alice Faulkner's podcast before coming on here, and that was really good. I'm so glad I did because a lot of people don't realize, as she has outlined, the differences. So I was born in England. My parents are Jamaican. I have dual citizenship, Jamaican and British passport. And the history is that basically Jamaica is in the southern part of the American continent. So the slavery boats just went in two different directions in the Caribbean and in America. So my history, we have slaves also, because slavery was there in Jamaica and in parts of Caribbean. So it's a different story in sense of in a different location of the American continent, but the story of slavery is the same. So I'm just mentioning that, but fast forward to coming to play this role, I had several experiences on the way, literally telling me that you would play this role. So, as I said, I went to the workshop, and fast forward, in the end, I did get to play Jane in theatre. And I decided to write about my experience of Jane in theatre for my thesis at BYU. But as I was doing it, I did one of the reenactments for Pioneers, and I heard a voice tell me, you will play the role of Jane. I heard that. It didn't happen till 2 years, but I heard it say you will play the role of Jane in a film.
Let's go back to what were one or two of those experiences you were going along that was those sort of anchor points that said, even though this doesn't look likely, this is going to happen and I'm going to prepare you for it. Is there an experience particularly that comes to mind?
No, that's what I'm saying. I see a lot of this as hindsight. I look back because what happened is, I got that feeling, but I didn't reach for it. I didn't know what film with Jane. There was nothing in the making at that time of getting that feeling. And as I said, writing my thesis, and there's church history and there's church history, right? So I was going through a real difficult time because I was, looking at all these, Blacks in a priesthood and the curse and all these different things that have been written. And how do I sort of make sense of all of this in my membership of the church? On top of that, I had health problems, chronic fatigue. I lay in my bed. And again, I think in your podcast before, you call them downloads. I quite like that. So anyway, I heard basically get up and go over to the Provo LDS Film Festival. And I complained. I don't know why you want me to go over there. I'm sick of these. I'm done now with these people. And, you know, I shook. I was shaking as I was putting on my socks and didn't know why I needed to be there. I picked up my thesis, which at that time was a manuscript of myself, but also pioneers, a documentary that I was thinking to write about Black pioneers. And I also took my resume, but I didn't know why. And I just went and I said, Lord, if there's anyone that you want me to talk to, they're going to have to sit right beside me. I'm done. Like, I don't have any more energy to reach out to anyone else. And I went there and the person that sat beside me started talking about Jane Manning. And that they were thinking of putting her in the movie, but they weren't sure. She kept being put in the script and taken out. And I asked why. And basically, I just let her know that people need to know that there were Black pioneers. And that was pretty much the end of the conversation. And then fast forward, I had two doctor's appointments because, as I said, health was not great. And I happened to be there early. And I checked my emails and realized there was an email that day for the audition for Jane Manning in a couple of hours. And I just felt that, oh my goodness, like canceled my doctor's appointment, went to BYU, printed out my lines. And to this day, it's the best audition I've ever given in my whole life. But I do remember her saying, but how are we going to work this? Because my visa hadn't, you know, the work visa wasn't sorted yet. You know, I was finishing up my studies. And I just said to her, it's going to come. It will come. It will come at the right time. I always call it, you know, God's time in the 11th hour. It was the 11th hour. Getting that work visa was the 11th hour before. I think filming was first done in Canada. So I had to be flown out of there. So in answer to your questions, it's looking back now when I look at that, I was like, oh no, I was supposed to be there at that time. Even though it took me 10 years, it actually took me 10 years from the feeling to go to BYU to actually when I went out to BYU when I was 27, 10 years. But the Lord's timing is the Lord's timing.
That is so gorgeous. I have goosebumps up and down my arm. 10 years. I hope our listeners will be able to take heart in that when, especially in a creative's journey, it feels like you get a download and then you expect it in 2 weeks, or you think it's got to be, and then what's wrong with me, or what am I not doing right, or why isn't this happening for me? And you look around and you see others, it just seems to just pop like a daisy, and it just seems like it's so easy, but it isn't. And I love that you share that 10 years from the download to the fruition. That is phenomenal. Now, I want to jump into your experience of singing alto with the Mormon Tabernacle Choir. Like I said, you have all of these varied experiences. We could spend so much time on every one of them. But how did you go into that experience, and how did that fall into play, and what did you learn from that?
Oh my goodness. I'm not saying I was the first Black woman, but I might have been. I don't know. All I know is I tried to go, and I had terrible health problems at that time. I looked like a rake in the clothes that they give you. But I was appreciative to be there. And I sometimes feel that sometimes people just need to see another person before they feel like, oh, I can do this. I can do this. So I even though I was there for a little time, I would like to think that just because after that, I know Alex Boyer joined afterwards, and there was Nikoyo that joined. And I think that once we get out there, just get out there and do things, it encourages everyone to kind of get involved and show the tapestry of the world as it is. It's, you know, this is a global church all over. So I wasn't there for long. As I said, I did have some health problems. And so everything I've been doing is sort of bits and pieces here and there. Yeah. But I'm in a good place now. So I'm excited now to sort of move forward. But it has lasted for a very long time. And yeah.
And yet I look at that, and I love that you bring up that point that I call it kind of being plugged in and out, right? The Lord's like, I need you here. Okay, now I need you here. And it's not about us. It's about
That's
where
right.
you need us.
Oh, I'm so glad you said that. That was exactly what my feeling. I was like, it's not about me. It's about where am I being called
to go
now.
Soon. I love
and,
that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's like you're a tool in that divine tool belt, and he can say, we need this one here. And you can say, here am I, send me. And you're not in it for, yeah, but I'm going to go on this major trajectory, and this is going to be my moment to now explode on the scene. And I think you're exactly right. when you see how you started that and then Alex Boyer and one thing after another, and then they just had the international choir for Mormon Tabernacle Choir, formerly known as, now it's the
Yeah, the
Tabernacle Choir
tabernacle.
Square. But oh, it was just phenomenal. So you see how one thing leads to another, to another, to another. And in your own way, you have been that Black pioneer of being able to go to this experience and open up that door and open up this for bridging the way for others to come. So all of these things are adding on, all of these kind of Velcroing in together, all of these pieces coming together and making this beautiful picture that is, it needs everybody's bit, everybody's piece. I always talk about a tapestry, everybody's thread is important.
That's right.
Everybody needs to be a part of it.
But there is still more to do. There's more work to do.
And I love how you share that this, again, I think this thread that runs through this is your willingness to have these seedbed talents and be able to say, okay, I'm going to try this one. I'm going to use that. Okay. And I'm going to go into this one and I'm going to develop and flourish that one. And I think for listeners, that's such an important piece because sometimes we just play the same three keys on the piano and think, yeah, but this is what I'm going to do and this is how I'm going to make it. But the Lord
Yes.
oftentimes has other plans. He has more notes to play or more colors on the palette he wants to increase and put on there. So I love your willingness and openness to do that.
I just think that's really important because a lot of us creatives are creative through so many different channels. I just think, oh my goodness, there's so many things that I like doing. And when you grow up where it's like pick a trade, and that's the one thing that you're going to do moving forward. But in the world that we live in today, a profile kind of where you wear those different hats and they're all important, however long or short you might be in that particular field.
I know we just have a couple of minutes, so I just would love to
Oh,
wrap up
okay.
with a thought that you might have of how has your faith sustained you through this journey? A lot of those things of health challenges and uncertainty and not knowing where this is going to take you, and then a church history, and then what's your place in this, and then what's this opportunity? How has your faith sustained you throughout that journey?
Well, my faith sustained me in the knowledge that it's all temporal. And even though I've had illness, what gives me faith is that miracles happen, and miracles happen in the hardest of times. Because of the hardships that I've been through, because I have, I can definitely say I've seen the hand of the Lord in my life that has sustained me. And that's what I know what has given me great faith.
I love that miracles happen. And I think what's so key about that, I was just reading this morning that talk by Dale G. Runland of infuriating unfairness. And he says, when we are coming to Heavenly Father and the Savior, they can make all things right for us. They can flip that and they can make all things right. And through the Savior's divine atoning sacrifice, all of the hardship that you're talking about, this temporal sickness and difficulty and uncertainty, can be made eternally purposeful. It can be made all right by Him. And I think, especially for creatives, where so much of the focus can end up being on temporal results, temporal success, temporal feeling of validation, right? That when we stay focused on Him and where He wants us to play in a given moment, we can feel the rightness of it and we can feel the purposefulness of it, that yes, this is where I need to be. And in the eternal scheme of things, I'm exactly doing what He wants me to do. So I appreciate so much your living example of that, of being plugged in and out and playing where He wants you to play and being where He needs you to be, and then having all of that good stuff happen for those that are following after. Thank you so much for being with us today, Fiona. I so appreciate it. People listening, if they want to connect with you and find out more about you, what's the best way for them to do that?
Probably my IMDb and Facebook. I love when people reach out to me. I'll also be putting a link with Cedar Fort for the
Yes.
article that I wrote on It Will All Be Worth It. And that is my new thing. That is my new calling to create. And we don't have time, but really, I was out in Utah in October. I was called to be there. And how I met with the publishers to come to write this article for my new journey was definitely a calling. So yeah.
I love that. And I love that. So, in recap, to connect with you in the future, IMDb, and also look up Fiona Smith on social media, and also look for the book coming out that is going to
Yeah.
be All Be Worth
Yes.
It, which has a lot of collaborators: Michelle Craig, Gaina Lynn Condi, Fiona Smith, myself, and a variety of others, Al Caraway. So many people who are talking about how our faith in the gospel, no matter what comes, is all going to be worth it. Fiona, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thanks, Connie. Thanks for having me.
And again, if you enjoyed this interview, we hope you'll go back and listen to the other interviews, just like Fiona was so gracious in her sharing, that you will be able to hear from Al Carraway and from all of these other people, Bonnie Corden and Gerald Lund and Napoleon Dynamite and all these people who are sharing their wonderful journeys to help you on your creative journey, feeling called to create.